This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:12. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And up next, the latest on the exchanges between Muda and PKR ahead of the Johor elections.
Yeah, so as we know, this hasn't been going all that well, right? And today, Syed Saddiq has stated that Muda may contest against PKR in the upcoming Johor state elections if seat negotiations between the two parties fail. This is, of course, following on that talks between PKR and Muda collapsed after PKR announced candidates for seats that Muda was lobbying for. So Syed Saddiq said that his party leadership will convene to decide the way forward, adding that if clashes can't be avoided, Muda will leave the decision to voters.
So, well, there's been some response from PKR. So PKR Wanita Vice Chief Faiza Arifin said that the suggestion of a possible clash might indicate that was Muda holding a grudge after the negotiations weren't going so well. She also said that she doesn't really see a problem in facing off with Muda. And she said, and I'm quoting here, "I welcome his view. It's open for any party to put any candidate in any seat that they deem to have a good chance of winning." Now, if we go back to a few weeks ago, we did hear from Amanah and DAP, who, let's not forget, are in Pakatan Harapan with PKR, and they actually offered Muda 6 seats to contest in. So things seem okay on that front. So all of these recent developments have really opened up, I think, questions of where this is going and what the opposition is going to look like.
And in fact, the tone of the conversation between the opposition parties, because, I mean, we laid it out earlier, this sort of back and forth. But actually, if you look at, some other interviews, and not just necessarily Faiza Arifin and Syed Saddiq and just the various people involved in both parties, the tone has gotten increasingly, I want to say, combative. And I think that has been pointed out, you know, in the first place, there are concerns about the dilution of votes to begin with. And when you have an opposition cohort that does not appear to be able to agree, the larger question also of how this is going to expand to a nationwide situation, you know, when we're not just talking about Johor, but the rest of the country, I think all these things are coming into play, shall we say.
Let us know, what do you make of how the opposition is handling these Johor negotiations? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 0187898899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now is Dr. Azmi Hassan, Senior Fellow at the Nusantara Academy for Strategic Research. Dr. Azmi, thanks for speaking with us today.
Hi, Sharmila and Lynn.
So what do you make of these outcomes of the negotiation between PKR and Muda?
Well, it's no surprise, but I'm surprised on Muda's part, actually. When they got 6 seats from Amanah and DAP, as you mentioned just now, I think that's very generous from DAP and Amanah to give Muda 6 seats. Now, if I'm in Muda or if I'm Syed Saddiq, Sharmila, I would say, thank you very much, Amanah and DAP. But for PKR, Muda need all the help that they need. So I don't think so. It's a good strategy for Muda or Syed Saddiq to find an enemy in PKR.
So what do you think are the possible factors that kept PKR and Muda from being able to arrive at some form of a consensus?
One thing that I learned, maybe this is not true, but Muda won seats that are currently held by PKR. And I don't think so PKR will do that. It's something that Muda wants from PKR is something that are very difficult for PKR. I think PKR want to give seats that are currently held by Barisan Nasional. I think that's okay. That's very strategic of PKR. But Muda wants more. And I don't think so they will come to a middle ground or middle line or an agreement if Muda insists that they want PKR, that are seats that are currently held by PKR, Lynn.
What can you tell us about both these parties standing in Johor, how they're perceived by voters?
You mean PKR and Muda?
PKR and Muda.
Well, Muda, we have no idea where they're standing in Johor, yes? Syed Saddiq is from Johor, but most of their members basically not from Johor. And PKR, they have a good, I would say, ground support in Johor. They are well established in Johor. So just looking at that, I think PKR is more well-versed in Johor, and Johorian, I think, Bangsa Johor, are more comfortable with PKR compared to MUDA.
And now we know that PKR and MUDA might potentially contest in the same seats. Warisan is actually also in the mix as well, albeit perhaps not in those exact spots. There are concerns that this will dilute opposition votes overall. What's your take on this?
Yeah, that's true, Dean. I think it will dilute the choice that the voters need to make. The problem is the dilution will be negative on the opposition. I mean the Pakatan Harapan. And likely so to be on Perikatan Nasional. So Warisan, you mentioned just now, will jump into Johor state election with two seats, if I'm not mistaken. I don't see any reason why Warisan want to join Johor election, because just to test their popularity, I think this is not the time. We need to give the Johor voters a clear choice. What I meant by clear choice is the big consortium, which is either Pakatan Harapan, Perikatan Nasional or Barisan Nasional. Because at the end of the day, I think Johor voters want a stable government. So if Warisan jump in, Perjuang jump in just to test the waters, I don't think that that's right for the Johor voters, Lynn.
So if we consider the fact that MUDA did manage to work out the seat allocation with DAP and AMANA, but not with PKR, what does this say about their relationship with Pakatan Harapan as a whole?
I see why MUDA is happy with AMANA and DAP seats is because out of 6 seats, 4 are former Bersatu seats that won during the GE14. And these 4 seats, the former Bersatu seats, are a very winnable seats for MUDA. I think that's the reason why MUDA is so happy with DAP and AMANA. But the 3 seats offered by PKR is a Barisan Nasional held seat, which is harder for MUDA to win. I think that's the reason why MUDA is so happy, cordial with AMANA and DAP, but on the contrary, with PKR, Shamila.
So, Dr. Azmi, I mean, I have to ask you, how do you see this playing out in the election?
For Pakatan Harapan, it does not portray any good picture for the voters. Right from the start, PKR using their own logo, and until this MUDA negotiation, it will confuse the voters. If the internal dilemma, the Pakatan Harapan, the three parties cannot resolve, how can they want to form a stable Johor government? So I think PKR, DAP and AMANA, and maybe include MUDA, they need to resolve their matters before the nomination day.
And what does this say about the relationships between the opposition bloc as a whole, especially as we head towards GE15?
As I see it, Perjuang is contesting 46 seats, if I'm not mistaken. And also Warisan is jumping into Johor. It shows that they want to form the government. But as I see it, without the opposition going head-to-head with either Barisan Nasional or Perikatan Nasional, disfranchised opposition will give UMNO a happy time in Johor election. I think that's a fact. Not that UMNO is so strong, no. But because of the Pakatan Harapan, the opposition are so weak because they are not on the same frequency. I think that's the problem with the opposition, Shamila.
Dr. Azmi, any final thoughts you'd like to leave us with?
Regarding the Undi 18, the 18 and 21 years old, there are 170,000 new voters, the new young voters. I'm hoping that they will go all out to show their whatever it is, their displeasure or their unhappiness. They need to register it at the ballot box.
Dr. Azmi, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
You just heard from Dr. Azmi Hassan, Senior Fellow at the Nusantara Academy for Strategic Research, weighing in on, fraught relationship and negotiation that's currently happening between MUDA and PKR. There are talks of it being a failure altogether. We would like to hear from you. What do you make of how the opposition is handling the Johor negotiations? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio, and we do have one message from Munif.
Well, it's not directly related to this, but Munif says, I swear this is curiosity and not me trying to make a dad joke, but what happens when members of MUDA become tua. Is there an early resignation age or something? Keeping in line with your political concept, will members step down upon their 30th birthdays maybe? I need to know. So Munif, the simple answer to that is they don't actually have an age limit for who can join the party.
I think as long as you're muda at heart. Perhaps.
No, I think it's probably more in line with, I mean, in all seriousness, with feeling aligned with the party's message. Now, of course, what that means is something that I think remains a little bit vague, right? This is something that we've talked about before, that the party doesn't exactly have the strongest of messaging or philosophy, which is why you get questions about tuaness, because it's like, is that what it is? But to be fair to them, they have in fact said that there is no age limit.
Also, we operate in a landscape where youth wings and youth members are well into their 40s and 50s. So I think, you know, muda has a time to go yet before they need to start calling themselves tua. Because first, let's see actual youth being part of youth wings.
Although, Munif, if you want to get back to us and tell us what tua could stand for, I'd love to know. If you could come up with a political party acronym that works for that. I don't actually think anybody would take it on, but you know, you never know.
Keep those thoughts coming. What do you make of how the opposition is handling the Johor negotiations? You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.